قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، خالق السماوات والأرضين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على عبده ورسوله وحبيبه وصفيه أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين الذي سمي بالقرآن بطه وياسين والمزمل والمدثر أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين الروحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الدائم الأبدية وعلى أعداء مجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتاب الحكيم وقرآن المجيد وهو أصدق القائلين وقوله الحق، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. هو الذي بعث في الأميين رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين. صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
الحمد لله and all praises to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are amongst the lovers of Quran and Ahlul Bayt. One thing which is a real privilege for us, and besides there's an opportunity as well, that at least we have that tawfiq to come to a center to attend a majlis of Abadillah al-Husayn. There are many, many people in this world who name themselves as a Shia of Ahlul Bayt, but they do not have that tawfiq to recite Quran, to attend programs at a center, to attend a majlis of the oppressed people, that is the Aba Abdullah al-Husayn. This is one of the tawfiq. The other night I was discussing about that if we have that intention to go towards the right direction. At times, we are standing in a place where there are many ways goes, and we are confused and wondering that where to go, which way is the right way and the correct path. Which way, if I will walk and I will strive on, will bring me success and prosperity, not only in this world but hereafter as well. Imam Hussein has made this decision very easy for his followers, for his lovers. Although for the guidance of mankind, Allah has sent 124,000 prophets and apostles. There are 12 imams, 14 infallibles. Lady Fatima Zahra Salamullah Alayha.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
But the distinguished figure and personality which we see in all these divine personalities and guides is the personality of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He has an exclusive place in the eyes of Allah, in the eyes of His Prophet. We have heard that hadith tens and hundreds and thousands of times, but maybe we did not had that time to reflect on it. What is that hadith which is very common, which is very much we have heard? The most common, the most famous hadith from the Holy Prophet, that the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, what it says, Husayn minni wa ana min al Husayn. A very short, very precise, and the meantime, the entire content of universe has been in this hadith. Everything is in this hadith. Holy Prophet, who is Holy Prophet? Holy Prophet is the leader of all the prophets and messengers. He is the personality, he is the creation of Allah, for whom Allah has created the entire universe. That Allah says to the Prophet, Laula khalaqtaka, if I haven't created you, I haven't created this universe, O Muhammad. And that element of the existence of the entire universe, and that factor which is an essential part of our own existence as well, that is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He says, Husayn minni wa ana min al Husayn. And this is not only for Imam Husayn alayhi salam, it also for Imam Hasan alayhi salam. Hasan minni wa ana min al Hasan. So Husayn minni, what is it? That's why Imam Rasul said that these two are your imams. Qa'ada aw qama. These are to your leaders, regardless they sit or they uprise. They do qiyam or they do salah, whatever they do, they are your leaders, they are your divine guides. Imam Hussein alayhi salam has sketched a line between haqq and batil, between the right and wrong, between the good and bad, between the divine and devilish. Imam has separated these two things. There is no third path to walk on it. That we are not on the path of Yadid, we are not on the path of Imam Hussein. We are going our own way. There is only one path. Allah says, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. There is one path of Siratul Mustaqim. There is no two ways to Allah. There is one way to Allah. That is the ways of prophets. These are the way of the Holy Prophet Muhammad. This is the way of Ali ibn Abi Talib. This is the path of Imam Hassan. This is the path of Imam Hussein. This is the path of Imam al-Asr, عَجَّلَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فَرَجَهُ الشَّرِيفِ.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
We need to clear our minds. We need to analyze our lifestyles. We need to set direction for our lives. We need to find the objectivity for our lives, that why we have been sent in this world and where we are going to travel and transfer from this world, where we are going to do. And while we are in this world for 50, 60, 100 years, 150 years, what we are supposed to do. They are all connected. If you are able to answer why we have been sent in this world, that Allah, in Quran, Allah says that, the meaning of the verse is that, we have not sent you for a play, for a drama over here. Who says that? Shakespeare says that. That we are all on a stage in this world. Absolutely wrong and incorrect in the opinion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At times we intellectuals, we quote Shakespeare's very proudly, but we do not take that pride to quote the Quranic verse that Allah says, you have not been created to play around. We have created you to do the ibadah. To do the ibadah, to be obedient to your creator. To be obedient to the one who have given you the sustain, the obedient to one who has given you the existence. Obedient to one that who has given you the power. Power to think, power to work, power to learn, power to implement, power to love. Power to enjoy. If you don't have that power, you won't be able to enjoy your life. Allah says you can enjoy your life, but within that boundaries of the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah has given the objective of our creation. As we memorize the verses of Shakespeare's and other people, there is a need. There's a need to learn what Allah has said in Quran. We learn Shakespeare and other, these type of people, philosophers and other writers, because it is in our curriculum and syllabus. But Quran is not in our syllabus. Quran is not in our curriculum. I see tonight, really tonight is a very lucky night for us, that I see some good youngsters attending majlis, alhamdulillah. I will request those youngsters to come forward and sit over here. Can we recite salawat for them? Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Come on. Once more, ya Allah, salawat Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Well, some of the youngsters are always attending, but some are having a lot of homework maybe, so they are unable to attend. But today we are fortunate that these youngsters are over here, and it's very important. Later I will tell you that how important these young kids are, what they can do. Adults cannot do that. They have some powers which has been given by Allah to them. And when this age passes, we lose that power. I will let you know. If I forget, just remind me. Kal recite salawat Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
A question is coming over here. Well, kal recite fine.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
So we need to find out. We say that why we need a guide. Yesterday, last night, we were discussing that to get the direction correct. Books are available. Why we go to school? Because we need a teacher to guide us to understand this book which is already in the market. We need a teacher, we need a guide. So when we need a guide in a school, how come a nation do not need a guide, a teacher? What teacher provides? What teacher provides? Teacher provides with knowledge, with insight which has been written in the book. Now these syllabus books are available, but the divine books are not available before the teacher comes. So there is a need for a teacher to bring a messenger, to bring that divine revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so it can be explained himself and the people and the prophets and the divine guidance who are coming after that prophet. They can teach people and guide people as it has been revealed on that messenger. So number one is that because we need that knowledge, we need prophets. We need divine guidance, because the only one who can understand the psychology, behavior, and nature of his creation or all the existence is the Creator. Is the Creator. Only the Creator knows the best that how to teach and guide his own creation, how to provide the guidance the way that the creation, if they select to strive on the path of human excellence, they can walk on that. They should have that guidance. Allah do not compel, as I mentioned the other night. Allah do not compel. Allah said, "Inna hadayna sabil imma shakira wa imma kafura." That we have given you, shown the path. It's up to us. It's up to us if we come and strive to get some and acquire some knowledge, we will receive some of it. As there are schools, colleges, universities, nobody force you. But you feel that we need to go and attend college. We feel that we need to go universities. Why? To acquire better knowledge, so we can get the help to acquire success and prosperity, whatever we define for ourselves. Because the definition for those people, definition of success and prosperity for those people who believe only living in this world, the definition will be different. For the people who believe not only in this world, but the world hereafter, so that the definition of success and prosperity will be different. Regardless, whatever the definition is, we need to acquire or feel that there is a thirst to acquire knowledge and collect information so we can practice and live in a better way. Similarly, if we reach that, the best thing which can guide us is Quran, is the teachings of Ahlul Bayt, because their teachings are constant and the teachings are universal. Though the law which has been made in one country by ourselves cannot be implemented in other country, because the minds of the people who are sitting in assemblies, they do not have that mind and intellect and knowledge which can give a universal laws. And when they try to give universal laws, you see violation and disturbance all around the world. People, they do try to make a one world with one law, But it won't happen with these laws made by human beings like us because of the limitations we have. The only unlimited knowledge, the infinite knowledge we can get is from Quran and Ahlul Bayt. Because they give the path to look into inside of a person, the spirituality, the actual knowledge which can be provided to us is by Quran and Ahlul Bayt. So we can find our inner self, as Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wa salam said, Man arafa nafsa arafa rabba. Whosoever able to find himself will able to find his God, his Allah, his creator. This is the best thing. So why not try this path as well? When we try other things, why can't we try this one? Can we recite Salawat Muhammad wa Muhammad? These divine guides, what were their missions? As you were mentioning about the mission of the Prophet last night, يَتْلُوَ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ, to bring the message to people from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, continuously, bringing His miracles. Quran itself is a miraculous book, is a miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that even passing through 14 centuries, no one was able to accept the challenge of Quran, could not able to stand against it. In a person, Mughira, was the one of the very best of the eloquent person in Arabic and its poetry. So when Holy Prophet used to recite Quran, people used to get impressed. They used that day that the verses was Quran was penetrating into the hearts. It was touching to the hearts of people. So that those enemies, those Arabs, the idol shippers, they were thinking that what to do, how to stop their people from accepting Islam and believing in the Prophet and his teachings. So they send Mughira over there to judge the kalam and the words and the eloquency and the power of the words, the revelation, the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he went to the Holy Prophet and said, can you recite some of the verses in front of me? So Holy Prophet recited a few verses from the Surah Hamim Sijda Surah. He was so impressed. He came back to his people and said, there was a gathering of the significant people over there, dignitaries. They said, this kalam, these verses, these words are not the words of human being. These words are not the words of jinn. These are something coming from someone else, someplace else. He was so praising these verses of Quran that people thought that he has accepted Islam. He has become the one of the lovers of the Prophet. So Abu Sufyan called him and called another gathering and called him again. Again he repeated the same thing. He said, have you accepted Islam? Have you become the follower of the Prophet Muhammad? He said, no, I haven't. Then he said, then propose suggest a way out, that how we can stop these people from this, these words and these revelations. He said, people said that we should say that Muhammad is an insane person. Mughira says, do you think that he's an insane person? People are going to accept it? Does he act like something like insane person? People said no. Then they suggest Mughira. The Mughira is the person who accepted Islam later on. Let me tell you. And he was the worst person, one of the worst persons. Mughira said, okay, we will start telling that he is a sahir, a magician. He do the, what you say, witchcraft things. And people will be, you know, will away. And there's a Quran that people say, some of the people said you are insane, and some other people say you are a magician. Prophet is nothing, because Prophet says whatever we revealed on him. So what happened when they started publicizing this word amongst the people? People more and more going and listening to him, that what sort of magical thing he's telling us. So when people used to listen to the Prophet's recitation, these verses were touching their hearts. Okay, what is the objective of telling this story? It's one simple thing, my dear. When these verses, can they touch the hearts of those infields, those Arabs infields, idol shippers? Alhamdulillah, we are not the idol shippers, worshippers. We are not infields. We are not atheists. We are believers in one Allah. We are believer in 124,000 prophets and apostles and messengers of Allah. We believe in Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. Then what stops us from reciting Quran and understanding is the distance which we have between me and the Quran. That is the recitation. I do not recite Quran every day. I do not try to understand Quran every day. This is one of the basic flaws and problems which we are having. If we have been reciting and trying to understand the teachings of Quran, it must have touched our heart. It must have touched our heart, because we do not have that intention. Even if we recite sometimes, like Surah Fatiha for Marhumin or some other, but just we are reciting it. We are not going through its meaning. We are not just going through, even if it's not going through this meaning, not even Arabic, we are ignorant even to the Arabic words of it. But we are reciting because it's been memorized. My dear, this Tasbihat Zahra, I think I have mentioned it, but let me repeat it. This Tasbihat Zahra, even if we recite it in a way, when we say Allahu Akbar, it should go from my tongue to my heart. We will feel that this Allahu Akbar will have its impact in my blood. Alhamdulillah is similarly. And yes, if while reciting this Tasbihat Zahra Salamullah Alayha, if we can remind ourselves of the mistakes we have done in the entire day. While reciting Alhamdulillah, if we can remind ourselves for the mistakes we have done in the entire month. While saying Subhanallah, if we can remind ourselves the responsibilities which we have towards our parents, our brothers and sisters, our neighbors, our friends, which we haven't fulfilled it. We haven't performed it up to the mark. Up to the mark. At times, living in a place in Western or Eastern world, it should not matter for a Muslim, for a believer. Because his code of conduct, for her code of conduct is Quran. Her code of conduct and his code of conduct should be based on the teachings of the Prophet and his infallible family members, that is the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Can you recite Salawat Muhammad?
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
These prophets were been sent. What to do to purify us? Purify. A person comes to the Prophet. He've been involved in sinful acts. He came to the Prophet and said that I was been involved. The Holy Prophet said, this is something which cannot be forgiven. That person roped himself with one of the pillars of the masjid for 40 days, crying and doing the tawbah. Then the verse revealed that Allah has forgiven. My dear, there is no sin that Allah doesn't forgive us. The only thing is that we should go to Him. We should go to Him. The thing is that the problem is that we are reluctant to go. Reluctant to go. Then we feel, we claim that we are the followers of Ahlul Bayt. We are the followers of Ahlul Bayt. Ahlul Bayt, what they would used to do? If Imam Hussein have reached Kufa and he was able to bring down the government of Yazid, what he has done? Just think about it. What he has been done? He must have changed the lifestyle of all the people of that time, because Muawiyah and after him Yazid, they bring all the sinful acts as a permissible acts. Drinking alcohol became permissible. Today we hear from people here and there that, oh, drinking, socializing with other people, it's okay. Drinking a sip of alcohol would be okay. It's not okay. It's a sip or a glass. It's haram. And the one who even take a sip of an alcoholic drink, his ibadat for 40 days will not be acceptable. Maybe people are thinking right now, who is doing the ibadat? Let's have a sip of alcohol. Who offers prayers? Who is reciting Quran? Who is reciting Dua? We don't care. My dear, this is our mistake. Recitation of Quran, offering of prayers, reciting Duas, seeking offering supplication, it is a kind of ibadat, one kind of ibadat. But the other ibadat is seeking knowledge, respecting parents, helping others. Are you doing those things? You have continued all those things in your office, in your workplace, in your college, in university. This ibadat will not be acceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means the person who has drank that, a drop of an alcohol, his all these 40 days will be counted as a sinful person. A person who has gone away, gone stray from the path of Allah. As if you have been left behind from the train you were supposed to ride on. As if you have left behind from the bus or car you are supposed to be on that, ride on that. And after 40 days, if if we are able to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sincere heart, yes, inshallah, Allah will accept it. But repeating again and again, it will change this or any other sin into a major sin. Repeating small sins again and again becomes a major sin. The thing is that the leaders are required. Amir al-Mu'mineen said, the leaders are required. La budda min amirin barrin aw fajirin. Every nation required a leader to guide them. If that leader is a good one, he will guide towards the piety and piousness and towards the divinity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if that person is a bad one, he will take towards the path of Shaitan. But every nation needs a leader. Now suppose you say, I want a leader. Okay, my subject is commerce, but I will attend science classes. I have a teacher. He will teach me. Okay, I want to be a Muslim. I want to be someone who are believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I select my teacher from someone who has been PhD from Harvard University or Oxford University or some other university. They will teach me Islam. I want to learn Islam, and I take my teachers and guides from the places who themselves doesn't know about Islam, or they know a very little about Islam. A part of it maybe not correct. So it's not that only we need a teacher and a guide, rather we need to find out that the teacher should be in the same path, the same line. Otherwise, we will go astray. We will be just naming ourselves as a Shia, as a Muslim. Otherwise, we will be doing. I think I've mentioned one of the real thing which has happened 2-3 years back when I was traveling in the month of Ramzan. Kindly recite Salawat Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. I was traveling in the month of Ramzan, and I think it was around 14-15 of Ramzan, something like that. So a person, when I was when we boarded from Dubai or Abu Dhabi, so a person came next to me and sat on the aisle seat before the plane takes off. He took out a good sizable Quran, a copy of Quran, and started to recite in Quran. I said, Alhamdulillah, I have a very nice and pious neighbor to me. Later on, I will be, inshallah, interacting with that person. And he recited for half an hour or so, something like that. Flight took off and everything. Then air hostess came and asked that who's going to have the meal, because in Ramzan, many of the Sunni people, they fast even while traveling. I say, I will take it. He said, no, I won't take it. I said, oh, Alhamdulillah, he must be fasting. After we finished, for that 12 hours or 11 hours or so, from that time till we landed to JFK airport, he had nothing except alcohol. And in the end, half an hour or so before that, he just started talking with me and said, yes, you must be thinking that in the beginning I was reciting Quran and then I was drinking. This thing is different. We need to keep it separately, and drinking alcohol is something, this is different amal, different action. What Quran says? Quran says these type of people are hypocrites. Those who are yu'minuna bil baz wa yakfuruna bil baz. And Quranic verse says, what it says, it is from Surah. It's Surah An-Nisa, verse number 150. It says, innal ladhina yakfuruna billahi. Indeed, those people who do not believe in Allah, wa rusulihi, and His messengers, yuriduna an yufarriqu bayna Allah wa rasulihi. They try to separate between Allah and His messengers. Wa yaquluna nu'minu bi ba'dhin. And they say that we will accept and we will believe and practice on some of the things, some of the commands, wa nakfuru bi ba'd, and we do not believe in some of the commandments from Allah. Wa yuriduna an yattakhidhu bayna dhalika sabila. And they try to create a new way, new path in between these two things, between halal and haram. They say that we will do it as we wish, where it's convenient. Now because we are coming to center, we will offer our prayers. If we are at home, no, we are reluctant, we are lazy to offer our prayers. When weekends comes, alhamdulillah, people start coming and pouring into the center. Alhamdulillah, it's also good. But remember, these 10 days, 12 days come once in a year. We need to take out some time for Imam Hussain alayhi salam. I have in this opinion, even those who are unable to come over here must be listening regularly from internet, some majalis, and learnings from those majalis, even if they are not able to come. But when they come over here, just reminder. When people come over here, it's something within the brackets just came in my mind. When people come over here in the center, they are entering into the center. The name is Az-Zahra Center. They are coming into the sanctuary. That is, it is, they are coming into the sacred place. So all men and women, they need to observe the sanctity of this place, at least when they are over here. As I mentioned, it's not only for here. Whether it's your akhlaq or behavior, your attitude, you're more careful with your words, you're more careful with your hijab, male and female, both of you. It should not be limited to this place. It should be in our lifestyle. But if we are not that good in our life and practicing these type of things, at least when we are coming to us to the center, we should observe hijab. Not only women, but also men as well. If you go to the Quranic verses, I don't remember the exact verses, but Quran, before Quran talks about the hijab of women, it talks about the hijab of men. That men should gaze their eyes and just not to stare women, especially youngsters and the people, anyone. So we should not be, the hijab is there. Of course, the modesty of dressing for men is also counted. But the haya is required for men. And similarly, then for women, that their dress code should be modest and as per the Islamic dress code, with modesty. And then not only the dress, but also when they talk, not only with men when they talk, it should be with modesty. Even when men with men and women with women, when they talk, it should be with modesty. We should try to talk in a manner that we all are the servants of Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha. We are nothing. We are not even to the level of the dust of their shoes, their feet. We don't have that level even. So when we are coming, we should be try to be more humble, more caring for each other. And if somebody has said something, try to ignore it, try to forgive it. We are coming, we are learning the forgiveness over here. And then again we take, when we go back at home, we have grudges for each other. How come? A mu'min should not have a grudge for others. If you feel that I have talked something wrong, if you feel that my attitude was not good, come to me and say, Maulana, your attitude wasn't good to me. Your behavior wasn't good to me. What you said, it wasn't good to me. I feel hurt. Okay, I will try to correct it. I will try to apologize from you. And so on. So similarly, people should be the same way. That when they are coming, they are should be taking care of each other. Yes, some are volunteers. Some are not at times. What the services, voluntary services changes. I don't know over here how it's going on. But at times there are places that one day there are some volunteers, some other day some other volunteers. So everybody will get chance. But I have seen over here, at least on the men's side, I have seen that, I don't know they are volunteers or not, but I have seen people, they work, everyone is working and everyone is trying to serve each other and try to accommodate each other. Alhamdulillah. I have mentioned the environment which I saw last year over here in Az-Zahra Center in Kansas. I mentioned and praised other places that I haven't seen so friendly environment in many centers. There are many good centers having good environment, but this is one of the best centers which I have seen, that all the people coming from different parts of the world, they are accommodating, they are so humble to each other. I haven't seen it. I haven't seen anywhere else. The people are having, it's difficult when the Noho has been recited in Farsi. There are many people who do not know Persian. When Noho is recited in Urdu, many people they don't know. The other night was in Turkey, so people doesn't know what is Turkey. At times they are in Punjabi, some other language, people doesn't know about it. So, but one thing they know, one thing, that whatever has been recited, it's about Imam Hussain alayhi salam. And everyone do matam over here. Everyone do matam. This is what required. This is what required for unity over here. Required to be together over here. This is the one of the ibadat. Coming to center, being with each other is one of the ibadat. Listening to majlis, offering prayers and duas and different, it is also an ibadat. But being together, showing this unity, showing that we are, although in little in number, but where we are together. We are all over here for one cause, for one person. Who is that? That is Imam Hussain alayhi salam. People. Now, the point I mentioned in the middle when I invited youngsters to come forward, what these youngsters have, which adults, they lose those things. That is purity of heart. Purity of heart. Cleanliness of mind. Having no grudges. If they fight, they become friends easily. They forgive very easily each other. But as we become adult, our grudges are more deeper. Our friendship, when it breaks for years and years. We do not say salam to each other, even to our neighbors, even to our partners in business, family members, brothers and sisters. This is what the purity, the cleanliness of mind. My dear young friends, if you is this time are able to preserve this purity of mind and purity of heart, you can become someone like On and someone like Muhammad. You can be like Ibrahim and Muhammad. You can be like Hazrat Qasim. Why? How come they become? They were not infallibles. They were common people. But they were able to maintain their purity of heart. How we can maintain? How a young child, a young person at the age of 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 can preserve his purity? Number one is believing in Allah, that whatever Allah has given me, I should be grateful and thankful. Quran says, "In shakartum la azidannakum, wa in kafartum inna adhabi la shadid." That if you will be grateful to me, I will give you more. Allah has given you so much that there are many, many people who doesn't have. And if you don't believe me, just Google it. See what people are doing in Syria. How people and children are living in many parts of the Iraq. Just Google it and see how children are living in Kashmir. Children are living in Afghanistan. Children are living in Yemen. Children are living in Nigeria. In many other places, they do not have what you have over here. Many of them over there, they do not have parents. They are orphaned. See how children are living in Palestine. How children are living in South Lebanon, other places. There are many, many places. And Alhamdulillah, Allah has given you a lot. The one thing is to be grateful to Allah. Number two is that recite Quran every day, even it's one ayat. Even it's one word, recite it. Make a habit in morning, in afternoon, anytime. Not recitation by memorization. Verse by verse. Recite even one ayat. If you can recite more, it's good. But at least one ayat, and it's better to recite it with its translation. Number three, how you can preserve the purity and cleanliness of your mind and heart, and that sincerity you have and love you have for Allah and for Ahlul Bayt, you should recite dua. Dua. Now, dua is in Arabic. Of course, you do not understand Arabic. Go through its translation. If you are convenient with Urdu, go in Urdu. If you are convenient in Persian, go in Persian. If you are convenient in English, go in English. If you are convenient and comfortable in French, Spanish, whatever language, because dua is not supposed to be recited only in Arabic. Dua is not for recitation. Dua is to ask Allah for something. So we will ask Allah when we will be able to understand. Even if a little dua, if you cannot recite from a book, after offering your prayers, yes, offering prayers regularly, it's very important. Very important. Even the morning prayers is very important. Adjust your time with your school that you are able to take out 5 to 7 minutes to do wuzu and offer your prayers. And you will be able to do it. You will be able to do it. Yes, you at times need help of your parents to wake you up, to give you guidance, to remind you. Yes, this is one of the responsibility of parents. If you practice these few things, and remember, make two things compulsory for yourself. What was the basic of the Imam, the Holy Prophet, basic teaching? Is the truthfulness and trustworthiness. Never lie to anyone. This is the basic teaching of the Holy Prophet. And be trustworthy, that people should able to depend on you, trust on you. If you have these few qualities from the beginning of this age of 7, 8, 9 years, 10 years, 11, 12, 13, 14, if you are in these ages, it's much easier for you to save that purity, to save that cleanliness, to bring that spirituality which is required to become Hazrat Qasim, to become Aun-e Muhammad. This is the beauty of Aun-e Muhammad. Tonight is the Recite Salawat Muhammad. Yes, Aun-e Muhammad. Who are Aun and Muhammad? They were two brothers. They were two brothers, sons of Hazrat Zainab. When Hazrat Zainab started her journey with his brother, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, husband of Hazrat Zainab said, "Zainab, take these two sons of ours with yourself." Say, "Why? Why should I take these two sons?" Say, "Maybe a time comes, when you need sacrifice." Allahu Akbar. They knew. They knew from the beginning where Imam Hussein is heading. Say, one of them, Aun, who was the eldest son, he said, "He will be deputing me, and Muhammad could be a present and sacrifice from your side." Allahu Akbar. They had this thing in their minds. So Aun and Muhammad, these two beloved sons of Hazrat Zainab, accompanied her on her journey from Medina to Makkah and from Makkah to Karbala. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Now to see the how valiant and courageous these two youngsters were. The ages has been mentioned that they were being between 10 to 12 years. Not more than that. Because there are different ages has been mentioned. So you can say it's between 10 or 12 years. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Before the battle started, they were discussing that how we will be able to participate, how we will fight, and who will go first. And both they were saying, "Then I will go first." On was saying, "Because I am eldest, I will go first." Muhammad was saying, "Nay, because I am the smaller one, you shall listen to me, and I will be the first one." Allahu Akbar. This was, how come it's coming? Just like that? Can our children, can our youngsters, can discuss the age they had, 10 or 12 years, can they sacrifice their lives? Every child, they have this thing that we will be living, we will be doing this, we will be like that. Everyone, every child has a wish. But these two childs, nephews of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, because their brought up was in a way that they understood. Mother hasn't told them yet. Hazrat Zainab has not told them yet that what they are supposed to do. They themselves are discussing among themselves that yes, we will sacrifice our lives. The question for them was that who is going to take permission from their uncle Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Allahu Akbar. They said, "We cannot go to Imam Hussein alayhi salam and seek his permission. He will not allow because of our age. These two youngsters, they go to their mother Hazrat Zainab. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. When Hazrat Zainab saw them, Allahu Akbar, Hazrat Zainab saw them, she must have kissed them, she must have hugged them, and then Hazrat Zainab said, "Aun and Muhammad, you know tomorrow is a very challenging and testing day. I want you to prepare yourself for going into the battlefield and sacrifice yourself for the cause of Islam, because tomorrow your uncle Imam Hussein would require you, your services. Allahu Akbar. These two youngsters looking toward each other, and they must be smiling and saying, for this reason actually we came to our mother, and our mother is already ready for this, to sacrifice us. She has already given us permission. Just let me stop over here and just ask these parents, ourselves as a parent, how we can sacrifice. Do we have that heart? Doesn't these women, these mothers, Hazrat Zainab, Umme Farma, Umme Layla, these ladies, these women who sacrificed their children, aren't they been mother? Yes, they were been mother, but they believe in one thing, that Hussein on the righteous path. That Imam Hussein on the righteous path, and we are sending our children to a better world. They have belief in that they are sending their children to a better world. Yes, their hearts were broken. They were crying, they were thirsty, they were tired. Allahu Akbar. But still they were courageously, valiantly, they were bravely standing besides Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Hazrat Zainab came to Imam Hussein alayhi salam and said, "Oh my brother, I haven't requested you before this, and I will not request you after this. I have only one request from you." Imam Hussein said, Oh my sister, what request you have? Just tell me what request you had. I will accept it. Hazrat Zainab said, I have a request that please accept these two sons as a sacrifice from myself. Allahu Akbar, I do not have any other thing to give on the path of Allah. I have these two sons accepted. Imam Hussain said, I cannot refuse you. With a sorrowful heart, with a broken heart, I just give permission to your sons, own Muhammad, to go into battlefield and defend Islam and defend Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. Allahu Akbar. When this news came to honor Muhammad, when they heard Imam Hussein giving them permission, their faces were enlightened. They were happy with all that sorrowful environment. Suddenly they got some happiness. Happiness for what? To sacrifice, to be careful, to offer their lives for Imam Hussein alayhi salam, their lives for Islam. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. In some of the books it's been written, Allahu Akbar, after farewell and saying goodbye to the family, and especially to Mother Hazrat Zainab, they both brothers went together. They went together into the battlefield. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. They were be having the blood of Ali ibn Abi Talib. When they enter into the battlefield, the people in enemy's rank, they were saying, Hussein's people has finished. He doesn't have any more person to send. Now he's sending children. Allahu Akbar. But those people doesn't know whose children they are. They are the children of Hazrat Zainab, a lioness of Karbala, princess of Ahlul Bayt. They are the sons of courageous Imam Ali alayhi salam, grandsons of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Allahu Akbar. They fought bravely. They killed some of them, but then when they saw that little small kids are able to kill their commanders and their soldiers, soldiers. Amr ibn Sa'd asked to surround him. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. A sword drop on the head of On. On said, Alayka minni salam, Ya Aba Abdullah. Oh my uncle, come to me and help me. Allahu Akbar. Imam was supposed to go into the battlefield to get On and bring him back. The same time, again a cry came from Muhammad Hussein. Oh uncle, come and help me. Alayka minni salam, Alayka minni salam, Ya Aba Abdullah. Allahu Akbar. This cry of these two children of Hazrat Zainab came from the battlefield of Karbala. Imam Hussein, with the help of Hazrat Abbas, came into the battlefield and took these bouquet of flowers to the camps. Allahu Akbar. Where Zainab, where mother was waiting to see the bodies of his two young sons. When Hazrat Zainab heard that her son has been martyred and killed, Hazrat Zainab went into sajda and did the shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah gave her this opportunity to give her sacrifice for Islam, for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Allahu Akbar. When these bodies came into the camp, all the ladies gathered over there. Hazrat Zainab put herself on his sons and said, O son, you have been killed thirsty, but remember your grandfather Ali ibn Abi Talib will give you a water of Hawza Kawthar, and you will be quenched with the water. Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah wa ala al-arwah allati halat min fidaik. عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر الأهد مني لزيارتكم. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي ابن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. اللهم نسألك وندعوك باسمك العظم العليم العظم العز العجل الأكرم وبدم مقتول بكربلاء. يا الله 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 يا الله. ربنا تقبل منا هذا القليل. الله accept this little ibadat from us. Allah give us tawfiq to understand Quran and teachings of Ahlul Bayt and practice according to that. Allah give us the courage of On and Muhammad. Give courage to the parents to groom their children on the path of On and Muhammad and Hazrat Qasim. Allahu Akbar. Allah hasten the reappearance of our 12th Imam and give us tawfiq to be amongst his true and pure followers. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma kull وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل الساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك توعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. معتم حسين.
يا حسين يا حسين يا حسين يا حسين يا حسين يا حسين.